إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، A few weeks ago I spoke about the importance of unity in Islam and I mentioned the evils of cutting a Muslim off and holding grudges and allowing for two people who have some sort of a dispute to let that dispute spill into maybe a whole family, then becomes disunited, or a group of friends or a community, and so on and so forth. However, today I'd like to offer, perhaps you could say, the other side of the coin. Because yes, indeed, unity is absolutely important. However, that does not mean, and it cannot mean, that you must be close, a close friend with absolutely everybody. That is not the case. There are times in which you have to distance yourself. That does not mean that you have to hold a grudge. That does not mean that you have to cut them off indefinitely. And that does not mean that you should allow that dispute to spill into other people and to create a larger fitna. However, at times you do need to distance yourself from certain people. And that's exactly what I'd like to talk about today, talking about the importance of avoiding specifically people that are full of negativity. There are some people that are simply a negative force in your life, and you need to learn to distance yourself. So to begin, we need to first analyze and ask the question, who should we be close with? And the person you need to be close with is not necessarily just the person who is nominally Muslim, somebody who has the label and the name of Islam. In fact, that's good, yes. But you want to be close with more than that. You want to be close with the mu'min, the believer, the one who has strong iman, the muttaqi, someone who has taqwa. That's the one you want to be close with. And the more time you spend with those people, then naturally, the less time you'll spend with the others. So it's not a question of cutting them off. It's just a question of being more, let's say, particular with your time and spending your time with the right people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers saying, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, that He loves them and they love Him. And then Allah describes them as saying, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that they are dhaleel, they are humble, they are compassionate, kind, even loving towards the believers. And to the disbelievers, they are stern. And when it comes to evil, they have this sternness and this harshness. And in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe and say that the people that you should take as a wali, the person you should be very close with, the person you should go to dinner with and be friends with and get married to and so on and so forth, the person that you want to spend your time with and be very close with, well, number one, you want to be close to Allah. Number one, he said, the one that you want to take as a wali, as somebody who's close to you, number one is Allah. Number two is His Messenger. And number three are the believers. But then Allah specifies and says, those who pray and give zakah, and they bow amongst those who bow. So from these two ayat, we derive that you want to be close and you want to have as a friend, not just anybody who says nominally or culturally, I'm a Muslim. You want to take it a step further and say, no, the people I want close to me are the ones who have firm faith, that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a question of being nominally or culturally Muslim. Rather, it's somebody who has firm faith and who has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, Allah loves them. And beyond that, somebody who prays regularly, somebody who is charitable, and perhaps one of the most important qualities, or perhaps the quality that I'd like to highlight today, that they have love and humility and compassion
towards the believers, and they are not obsessed with the disbelievers. You find some Muslims, they are obsessed with non-Muslim culture. They are obsessed with what is trendy, with pop culture, with what is, you know, the latest gossip. And they look up to non-Muslims. And yet you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the type of people you want to spend time with, the type of people you want close in your life, are rather those who love Allah, who pray their prayers, who are charitable, and when it comes to the believers, they have that close bond, and that interest, and that love, and that compassion, and that humility before them. And when it comes to the disbelievers, they shun that. And they have a sternness towards that, a harshness towards that. I don't like that type of culture, and I'm not interested in those type of things, that type of gossip and trendy this and pop culture that. I'm not interested. If that is not enough for you, then subhanAllah, Allah goes on further in Surah Furqan, describing Ibadur Rahman, the servants or the slaves of the Most Merciful. And this is a term only used twice, once for the believers and once for the angels. So subhanAllah, if you can attain such a status, then that is indeed a lofty status. Now I can't go into the entire description of these Ibadur Rahman, but the first description that they're given, Allah says what? وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. That the servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk upon the earth with humility. And that what? وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when they speak to ignorant people, they say salam. This can be interpreted in multiple ways. But in one way, that is definitely a valid perspective, that when somebody comes to them with jahil information, I want to talk about nonsense this, or I want to talk about jahili culture that, and they're very interested in all these, let's say, haram, or time-wasting topics. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. One interpretation is that they in exchange for that, they try to change the subject to something more positive. They speak words of peace. Or maybe if the person's in a fight with them, they try to calm them down. But another interpretation is that they say, قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they say goodbye. Salam, bye, I gotta get out. In a nice and beautiful, calm way, they distance themselves from this scenario. Why? Because they don't want to be friends with people who are interested in jahiliyyah. They want to be interested, they want to have friends who have higher standards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, Al-akhillah, yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that close friends, and the fact that Allah is talking about close friends means that we should pay attention if we want to know who we should spend time with. Allah says that close friends on that day, on judgment day, will actually be enemies. Except, there's only one exception, the people of taqwa, al-muttaqeen. What does that imply? That if you're thinking about who should I be a close friend with, it's not just somebody who is nominally Muslim. It is rather somebody who is a muttaqi, someone that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone that has the taqwa of Allah, that encourages you towards good and prevents you from evil. If you want to have a friend, somebody who's close to you, that's going to be friends with you in this life and the next, then get close to the people of taqwa. And if subhanAllah this is not enough for you, then perhaps this last hadith, this hadith that I'll mention, really seals the deal, because it's just the most clear and straightforward language. The Prophet ﷺ says, there's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, لَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنًا. Don't be friends, don't be a close friend with anybody except for a believer. لَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنًا. And then, وَلَا يَأْكُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌّ. And don't let somebody eat your food except that he is a taqi, somebody of taqwa. What does that mean? The person that you spend the most time with, the person that you go out and have fun with, the person that you bring back to your place and you feed them, the person that you're a close friend with, they have to have the qualities of being a mu'min and a taqi. Other than that, the Prophet ﷺ is advising that you do not make those other types of friends. Now of course, the opposite of being dhalil towards the believers, the opposite of being humbled towards the believers, is the person who is harsh and negative and always blaming other people. As the saying goes, stay away from negative people, they have a problem for every solution. It's a pretty funny quote. But the idea here is that you want to avoid the person who dumps their negativity on you by venting, by complaining for hours, and always avoiding any solutions, no matter, regardless of how many solutions you offer. Some people, you try to offer them many different solutions. They're just not interested. They're only interested in complaining and unloading all this negativity on your back. And as a result of this, you find yourself weakening. You find it's as if they've placed this excessive baggage on your back and they're making you feel tired and frustrated. And now you're wondering to yourself, where did all this negativity come from? It's not even mine. It's not even from me. Now, of course, there is a fine line that needs to be drawn. Because there is a difference between being sympathetic and offering a listening ear, which is a very beautiful thing to do. When somebody's going through difficulty, you want to be sympathetic. And you want to be, you know, someone that they can complain to and take refuge in. That's a beautiful quality. However, that can cross over, and each of us have to be the judge and figure out that fine line and find out when it spills over into excess and it becomes a situation where you're getting guilted into a negative emotional downward spiral. Basically, they are just dragging you down and they have no interest in improvement. So we each have to draw the line. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith Qudsi, which means that the Prophet ﷺ is quoting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Whoever finds good, let him praise Allah. And whoever finds evil, or whoever finds other than that, other than good, then let him blame nobody except himself. This is a very powerful hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim. What is it saying? That the believer is not the type of person that goes around pointing the finger and blaming everybody else. When good things happen in your life, what do? You praise and you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When negative things happen in your life, what do? You try to look inwardly and figure out, what did I do wrong? And how can I improve the situation? Yes, it's possible that it's somebody else's fault, but blaming them and pointing the finger realistically will not improve the situation whatsoever. The only person that you control is you. And therefore, you have to look inwardly to say, okay, fine, even if an injustice was done against me, what can I do to improve the situation instead of just sitting and complaining consistently, persistently, regularly? That is the attitude of the believer. They thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they try to be productive and try to fix the situation instead of blaming others. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيْئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever comes to you of good, then it is from Allah. And whatever comes to you of evil, then, oh human being, it is actually from your own self. And subhanAllah, there's a very interesting hadith which relates to this topic, which I find very fascinating. With regards to the issue of a person needing to take responsibility for themselves and figuring out how they can ameliorate the situation instead of looking to others or looking to outsource it. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith which is mentioned in At-Tabari, his tafsir, it's also mentioned by Al-Hakim, it's considered sahih by Al-Albani, it's authentic hadith. ثَلَاثَةٌ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ. There are three people who they'll make dua and the dua will not be answered. SubhanAllah, very scary. Number one, رَجُلٌ كَانَتْ تَحْتَهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ سَيِّئَةُ الْخُلُقِ فَلَمْ يُطَلِّقْهَا. Number one, a man who's married to a woman who has terrible character. Basically, he's married to a bad woman and he just won't divorce her. So he's making dua, oh Allah, fix the situation. What do you mean fix the situation? You know how to fix the situation. It's a bad relationship, cut it off. But he won't listen. Number two, وَرَجُلٌ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مَالٌ فَلَمْ يُشْهِدْ عَلَيْهِ. A man who He lends his money to somebody, but he doesn't have witnesses, or he doesn't get it in writing, he doesn't create a contract. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you what? In the longest ayah in the whole Quran, ayatul dayn, when you make a deal, when you make a transaction, write it down, get a witness. And this guy, he gives his money, now the guy won't give him back his money. He feels that he's been cheated in this situation, he's making dua. Oh Allah, give me a solution. I already gave you the solution. Write it down. What are you doing? Complaining and saying, oh Allah, it's not my fault, and give me a miracle to make the situation better. I already gave you the miracle. I gave you a mind. That in and of itself is a miracle. And on top of that mind, I sent you wahi, so you can receive that and apply it. That's the miracle. That's what you should have applied. Instead of not listening, getting yourself into a bad situation, and then complaining. And number three, وَرَجُلٌ آتَى سَفِيهًا مَالَهُ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. That the third person is the one who gives money to a foolish person. And while you know that Allah says, do not give your money to the foolish. And the Prophet here quotes the ayah in Surah Nisa, verse number 5. So in other words, if you lend your money or give your money to somebody who you know is irresponsible, who you know will waste it, who you know won't pay it back, or perhaps you invested your money in somebody who you knew was a bad investment, and then it all goes wrong, it all goes terrible, it all goes sideways. And then you're saying, oh Allah, fix the situation. Oh Allah, you're begging and begging, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already sent you the wahi. You just didn't pay attention, subhanAllah. So we need to keep these these ahadith in mind and recognize that yes, we have the solutions, and the solution is to avoid negative people. Whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in a business transaction, or whether it be in a friendship, we need to avoid evil people that will have a negative influence on us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Bismillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. When it comes to this issue of distancing yourself from someone who is a negative influence, somebody who is constantly blaming, accusing, and attacking, and is a persistent negative force in your life, I'd like to remind everybody that I am not suggesting you cut them off. Because as we talked about in the other khutbah a few weeks ago, that cutting off your Muslim brother is not the solution. In fact, it creates more problems. However, there is a very simple solution that's in between both, of being very close and cutting the person off. And that is what? Don't go as often and don't stay as long. Very, very simple solution. You don't go and visit this person as often, and when you do, you don't stay as long. And this is an easy way to limit your exposure to such an individual. Why? Because they'll change when they're ready to change, and you can't expedite that process. It's very unfortunate. Some people think they have the power to transform somebody. And as somebody myself who, alhamdulillah, has, alhamdulillah, given many different courses on da'wah and the importance of da'wah and how to give da'wah, one of the most frequently asked questions is, how long should I try with somebody before I give up? This is a very, very commonly asked question. How long should I put my energy into a person and give them da'wah and call them to good, whether they be Muslim or non-Muslim? Try to have a good impact on them. How long should I try until it's too much and I should just give up? The question is wrong in and of itself. The question is wrong because it creates a false dichotomy. Either I'm actively trying to change this person or I've completely abandoned them. And that's not the case. You can try with a person, and if you see no progress in them, then instead of officially cutting them off, simply leave that door open for future engagement when they're ready. Meanwhile, you invest your time in somebody that does actually benefit from your presence. That is a middle path, and that is a healthy solution. What I would not suggest is that you complain to this person themselves. Why? Because in most cases, complaining won't help. It's just a sign that you're becoming more like them, and that's exactly what you are trying to avoid in the first place. The whole idea is that they're negative, and they complain a lot, and you don't want to become like that, and now you're complaining to them. It's showing that it is rubbing off. And furthermore, they have more experience in complaining. You'll often find that the negative person who complains all the time, they're professional at painting themselves as the victim. And so when you try to compete with them, you'll lose. So, as the saying goes, the only way to win is to not play the game. So you don't engage in complaining. Rather, you just try to distance yourself. Another reason why it's very critical to not spend too much time and to not be around people that are extremely negative is because over a long period of time, we'll naturally incline towards agreeing with people that we're around, even if we recognize that their views are completely false and wrong. This is a natural habit. This is a natural state of affairs with regards to human nature. Why? Because our minds are programmed or designed to avoid painful conflict. And so if you're in an environment where you constantly disagree with the people around you, then just to avoid the pain of conflict, your mind will slowly but surely get used to their opinions and start to think that their opinions are correct. That's why this idea of somebody saying, oh, I hang out with this group of people, but I don't do what they do, or I don't agree with their views, or I don't think like them. That person is incorrect in their thinking. That person is only deluding themselves. As the Prophet ﷺ says, الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. A man follows the lifestyle, the path, the religion, the way of his friend. So each of you should consider and be careful who he befriends. Yes. Therefore, it is a fact. The more you spend time with somebody who has a negative mindset, who is always complaining, that person will indeed eventually rub off on you, and you indeed will develop a negative mindset if you're around that person for a long period of time. And therefore, it's very important that we always remember that you cannot have a positive life with a negative mindset. And therefore, I'd like to conclude with a very beautiful poem from Imam al-Shafi'i. And I'd like to remind everybody that the objective is not to think so much about the negative person, but rather to try to focus on the believers. The objective is not to try to downplay a certain group, but rather just turn your attention and your love and your consideration and put your time into those who are righteous. And the poem from Imam al-Shafi'i, his poem to those who are very, very critical all the time. He says something very beautiful. He says, وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ عَيْنَ السُّخْطِ تُبْدِ الْمَسَاوِيَ وَلَسْتُ بِهَيَّابٍ لِمَنْ لَا يَهَابُنِي وَلَسْتُ أَرَى لِلْمَرْءِ مَا لَا يَرَى لِيَ وَإِنْ تَدْنُ مِنِّي تَدْنُ مِنْكَ مَوَدَّتِي وَإِنْ تَنْأَ عَنِّي تَلْقَنِي عَنْكَ نَائِيَ كِلَانَا غَنِيٌّ عَنْ أَخِيهِ حَيَاتَهُ وَنَحْنُ إِذَا مِتْنَا أَشَدُّ تَغَانِيَ. He says, when he's speaking about the negative person, he says, excuse me, talking about the positive person, he says, the satisfied eye, the eye of the satisfied person, the content person, he is blind to every problem. And the angry eye, or the eye of the angry person, exposes every evil. And I have no reverence for the one who has no reverence for me. And I do not see in a man that which he does not see in me. In other words, if you only have negative things to say about me, then I don't see any good either. And then he says, and if you get close to me, my love gets closer to you. And if you get away from me, then you're going to find me distant. We're both not in need of each other. We're not in need of each other's life. كِلَانَا غَنِيٌّ عَنْ أَخِيهِ حَيَاتِهِ. We don't need each other's life. It's not necessary. And then finally he says, وَنَحْنُ إِذَا مِتْنَا أَشَدُّ تَغَانِيَ. And if we die, then we're even less in need of one another. In other words, death is the ultimate separator. So ultimately, it's okay. If you want to be that way, and if you want to be negative, then you can go ahead and be that way. And I personally am going to stick with the believers. Stick with the people who depend upon Allah. Stick with the people who have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stick to the people who try to seek out solutions instead of blaming everybody for their problems. I want to stick to the people who are people of salah. People who bow down with those who bow down, as Allah mentions in Surah Ma'idah. As in they pray in jama'ah. I want to be of those who are charitable. I want to be with those who are adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen, who are humble and compassionate towards the believers and stern against the disbelievers. These are the type of people that we want to spend our time with. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who spend time with the muttaqeen, who are people of righteousness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who, in a intelligent and diplomatic way, learn how to distance ourselves from people who are having a negative effect on us until, inshallah, they change their ways, and until, inshallah, we can have a positive effect on them. Ameen. Ya رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت ربنا آتنا في دنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وأقم الصلاة.